What is up, everybody? Welcome to Fantasy and Frames Wednesday. This is Dynasty 365. I'm your host, Chris Burns, aka the Dynasty Deviant. And tonight I am joined by my Fantasy and Frame brethren. You know him, you love him. He is the ginger beard man himself, Mr. Richard Sickles. How you doing tonight, Rich?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. Thank you for asking. I'm excited to be here with you and break down some trade targets. This is going to be good.
That's great. All right. So, yeah, so tonight, as Rich said, we're going to be talking about some running back and wide receiver trade targets. You know, whether you're contending or whether you're rebuilding, we got you covered. So let's go ahead and get into it. We'll drop that music. All right, everybody. Rich, my man. As you can see, it is just you and I tonight. We have no adult supervision. So that means that we can eat pizza. We can stay up late. We can do whatever we want to tonight. How do you feel about that, man?
You know, there's a part of me that a little bit was a little nervous at first. But yeah, you're right. I mean, all the pizza we want, No adult supervision. I'm loving it.
Exactly. I'm loving it. I'm going to watch horror movies and you'd be scared. Like I'm asleep with the lights. I don't care. You know, we're going to do whatever we want to tonight.
No bedtime. No bedtime.
Yeah, that's right. No bedtime. And so to everybody who's watching it right now, we want to thank you guys for coming in and supporting us and watching us tonight. As me and Rich, we're going to, like I said earlier, we're going to dig into the wide receiver and running back targets. You know, people that you want to go out and acquire if you're in a dynasty to try to make your team better. So, as I always say, the purpose, you know, of trading and everything that you want to do in the dynasty, you want to sell high, but you want to acquire those players low. So, we're going to give you some people that you can get in there and make moves for and build some value, like if you do decide to flip them or whatever, or they might outperform the ADP. So, we'll go ahead and we'll get started. Since last time we spoke, Rich, the only thing that's happening tonight, the NFL is going to release their schedule. So, everybody's going to be really happy about that. Everybody's going to be talking about who's playing who when and what rivalry is going to be where. We know that it's going to be the Ravens and the Chiefs, like that opening game, which should be a good one, and a few more have trickled out. But at the time of this recording, we do not know, like, the schedule release right now, but we will get into that later. I promise you we will get into that later. But so we're going to go ahead and get into our first topic, which is going to be the wide receiver targets. So these are the wide receivers that you're going to want to go after, whether it's going to be contending or rebuilding, you know. So we're just going to give you a couple names and we're just going to talk through it. Rich, you okay with that?
Sounds great. I love it. Let's do it.
All right. I'll go ahead and get started. I'll give you mine first because I don't want you to take the guy that I want to talk about tonight. So the first person that we're going to be talking about in a contending series. So if you're contending, you are going to make the playoffs and you have a chance to run for that championship. You're going for that ring and you're all in. You're pushing all your chips to the center of the table. You're all in, ready to go for it. A wide receiver that you can acquire right now would be none other than Davante Adams of the Las Vegas Raiders. And the good thing about Davante Adams is, I mean, he's Davante Adams. The guy's been elite for the longest time. And you wonder, like, why would I acquire him in a dynasty when, you know, he's kind of, oh, okay. Yeah, Adams, he's entering his age 32 season. So the cat's out the bag. Everybody knows that he is old. But here's the beauty of him being old. That means when he's past that age apex of 30, dynasty owners are trying to get him off the team because no dynasty owner wants to be left holding the bag when an aging vet finally falls off the cliff. You know, so that means they're willing to move him and you probably can get him at a better, like a little bit of a discount possibly. His QB is a mystery. We don't know if it's going to be Gardner Minshew or if it's going to be Aiden O'Connell, but I don't think the community really feels too highly on either one of them. There is a lot of Minshew love if he does get the job. But I'm going to tell you some reasons why you should target him. So we've given you a little bit of what the situation is, but this is why you should target him. Guys, Rich, can you hear me? Can you guys hear me out there? Davante Adams is really good. Okay, he is really good. This is why you should go get him. So consistent production. You know what he's done in the last 4 years? He's had 100 plus receptions. He's had 1,100 plus yards in the last four seasons. Not only that, in three out of the last four seasons, he's had 11 touchdowns. You know, that's pretty doggone good. Yes, double digit in three of those four. And then the fourth one, he had 8 touchdowns, which is last year when the quarterback, you know, it was a little rocky.
Right. I was going to say all this was on the Raiders, too. Like,
yes. It's on the Raiders. It starts off with all that turmoil and, you know, the ineptitude of Mr. McDaniels, you know, so he leaves and the new regime comes in, they take over and everything and they start winning games. And what you've seen with that is that Aiden O'Connell does not mind throwing the ball to Davante Adams. He had a lot. I'll tell you, I'm glad you asked because I'm going to tell you what it is. I know you didn't ask, but he had 175 targets last season. 33% of the targets on the Las Vegas Raiders last year went to Davante Adams. That is absolutely insane. He led the NFL in target share. You got the same regime, you know, coming back. And Minshew or O'Connell, we've seen Minshew, like where he plays, where he will throw to the same receiver over and over and over. He will use the hell out of a receiver, which is good for Davante Adams because his team. And O'Connell, he did the same thing, you know. Once Pierce took over and they stopped playing whatever type of games that McDaniels was doing, they peppered him and they peppered him and they peppered him. Like, he squeaked a little bit, then they started giving him the ball. That's great. The only additions that you really have to worry about taking from his target, Gardner Minshew and my man Brock Bowers. But I think they're going to be fighting for what comes after Davante Adams. I think it is clearly Davante Adams, and then everybody else will, you know, fight for what's left. So that is a great reason to get him. If you're looking to get him, the current price for him right now on Dynasty League Football, they have him as a late 2024 first, you know, somewhere around the 110. I personally, you know, if I'm contending and I want to, like, go for that chip, I'll easily give up the 110 for it, because you look at the rookies that are around there, you know, that tier break kind of happens a little bit after 6-8 or something like that. And, you know, you get down to that. If you're really going for that win, Davante Adams is somebody that can really, really help you out. Yeah. So that's who I got. Rich, let me ask you, like, if we're talking about contending targets for wide receivers in a dynasty, who are you looking at?
So my guy that I've been looking at, and I talked a little bit about him, I think it was last week or maybe it was the week before when on one of the shows, but we were talking about Tyreek Hill from your Miami Dolphins. sorry to steal that one from you, but if you're contending, like, Tyreek Hill has to be on your target window. Like, he has to be one of the people that you're targeting because he is so good at what he does. You look at the last 4 years of production that he's had, and it's let's see, he led the league in touchdowns and yards in 2023, tied for second most receptions, second overall in wide receiver. 2022, second in yards and receptions, second overall again as your wide receiver number two on the year. 2021 fell down a little bit, ended up being 6 overall, still a top 10 wide receiver. And then 2020, second overall once again, no triple digit receptions, but he did have the second most touchdowns. So he's just as consistent. He's as consistent as they come. And I when it comes to fantasy football, like, that's what I always preach is finding somebody that is consistent. Mm-hmm. And plus, once you're, when you're going for that chip, when you're really pushing all in, I think that's like you're saying how Davante Adams is a little bit older and everything like that. Well, that's who I'm targeting when I'm pushing for that championship, is guys that are a little bit older, maybe. Absolutely. That other people are willing to let go for that late first. In this case, it is an early first for Tyreek. So he's a little bit more expensive. He's about a 103 or 104 according to DLF. Mm-hmm. Dynasty League Football. You're looking at like CMC, Laporta, Jahmyr Gibbs, Breece Hall, Puka Nacua to try to trade for him if you wanted to try to do a one for one. That's a little bit harder of a pill to swallow. But I think that if you're sitting good at running back, like one of those running backs, CMC, Breece Hall, Jahmyr Gibbs, again, a little bit hard of a pill to swallow, but I would totally, if you're a receiver away from winning the championship. That's what it's all about right there.
Absolutely.
Right. Like that's what we play the game for. So right.
Hello, you play to win the game. Absolutely.
That's right. That's right.
So let's say that you're contending right now, you know, so your ginger beard men, they're like right there. You're like, you look at the standings, you see the teams, you got those guys at the bottom that are tanking, you got those guys that are forever in the middle, and it's you and maybe two other teams that are actually in contention for that championship. Are you trading your 104 in your rookie draft to get Tyreek Hill, or your 103? Are you giving up a chance at those quarterbacks in a super flex?
If I'm a receiver away, and I somehow miraculously have the 104 or 103, yeah, I'm still willing to, like, if that's what I need is that wide receiver, and I'm not sitting waiting for a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I am waiting for a quarterback, I would, like, if I only have, like, personally, I like to have three quarterbacks. Okay. If I'm like super flex,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I like to have two studs and one good backup. If I was sitting on two quarterbacks, I still would take Tyreek Hill, because what you're going to get out of Tyreek Hill is going to be just as good as one of those quarterbacks for the production that he puts up.
I agree. And I have the same philosophy as you. Like, I like having my stud quarterbacks and then like a good one that I can, you know, depend on, like, to rotate, because I don't like worrying about quarterback. So if I have me a solid quarterback or two solid quarterbacks at a super flex, those are positions that I don't have to worry about for 10 years, you know, right. So I'm not on that carousel or anything like that. Well, let me ask you this. Would you give up the 110 to get Davante Adams?
I would. And I was actually thinking about this while you were talking about it. I feel like that's a really realistic expectation. Like how I was saying, if I was a wide receiver away and somehow I had the 103 or 104, like mm-hmm. typically, you know, when you have that higher pick, you're not usually competing for a chip, right. So but the 110, that's more than reasonable for you to be in that position where you're actually competing for a championship at that point. And so if I have the 110, if last year I was close, I was on the verge of knocking down that wall and winning the championship,
uh-huh.
and I would totally flip that pick that I have for Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So in the same vein of that, as you talk about having a later pick because your team's good, because you're contending for a championship, Amari Cooper was somebody that, you know, like came up on the list of like thinking about, and DLF kind of has his value right now, like right there on the turn at the 112, the 201, like that turn or whatever. Are you going after Amari Cooper for that price?
Say it again. It was the 201.
Yeah, the 112 or the 201. He's kind of fits like right in that range right there, according to DLF.
Joe Flacco is still there, I would. No, you know, I really like Amari Cooper. I really do. I'm not sure if I'm willing to give up the 112. There's a couple guys that I like at that spot that I probably would take over Amari Cooper.
Right.
So yeah, but it comes down to just wondering what are we actually going to get with Deshaun Watson, you know, like I believe in Amari Cooper. I just don't believe in Deshaun Watson at this point.
You know what I mean? And it's crazy. Like, we are locked up right now. Like, I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying. Like, I feel like the exact same way, you know? So I would not, that's right. Yeah. You know, the parents are gone. So it's just us. We're riding the wave.
Yeah.
But like you said, I don't trust Deshaun Watson. The last time we seen Deshaun Watson be good at football was what, 4 years ago. Now people want to tell me last year where he had like what, that game where you're like 14 completions, straight completions in a row or something like that. And he was doing whatever, but you know, the ADOT on that, the average depth of target was -1. Like, so he's just dumping it to the running back behind the line of scrimmage or something like that. We haven't seen him good. And you think that maybe the rust has fallen off a little bit. I mean, but from the whole thing leaving, like sitting that out that whole year down with the Texans, I mean, I feel like he's had enough time to show what he could. I mean, you know, it could be that he really was injured last year trying to play through that. So I really don't know. But
yeah.
I think this year is the absolute last year that he has excuses. So our own Tyler Heil, like, he's not with us tonight. But Tyler, As Rich, you know what? As a matter of fact, Rich, could you denote this? Because I want Tyler to address this whenever he gets a chance. I want to hear what Tyler thinks about Amari Cooper. Because I know, you know, he's got a little bit of that homerism in him. And like, he loves those Browns. But I would be really interesting to hear, like, interested to hear what he thinks about Amari Cooper. Like, I'm not saying Amari Cooper's bad. Just like you said it perfectly. You got faith in Amari. You just don't have faith in the QB situation. So, Tyler. Tell me your thoughts.
Right.
All right. So now we're going to move on, and now we're going to flip the other side of the coin, and we're going to go from contending targets, and we're going to talk about those rebuilding targets. So those teams are at the bottom of the league. You realize that you got to push that button and do that reset that nobody wants to do. You know, so what type of players are you targeting when it comes to rebuilding? So, Rich, we're still talking about wide receivers right now, though. If you are rebuilding, let's say that, you know, you took over a poorly run orphan and you're trying to turn it around, who are you targeting?
Sure. Well, if I'm taking over a poorly run orphan, there's probably a good chance that Jerry Jeudy's already on it. And he has ran that team into the ground. But I'm still targeting. I can't stop targeting. I don't know why. I can't stop drafting him. I can't stop trading for him. I just can't quit. And I wrote in my notes, I just can't quit him. I really can't. I keep thinking about the fact of what I expected from him when he came out his rookie year, what I expected him to be. And yeah, the last 4 years, his best finish was wide receiver 21. So definitely not great. But I really do feel like this whole change of scenery is going to be a great new beginning for him. We just got done talking about whether or not John Watson is going to be anything or not.
That's the next question.
Yeah, right. So there's a lot of question marks still there. I'm willing to take the chance that Jerry Jeudy figures it out, and mainly because he's so cheap. He doesn't cost anything right now. Like, you're talking about somebody that you can get for, according to Dynasty League Football, you can get for an early third round pick. Or Zamir White or Joe Mixon. Right. Like, Joe Mixon, maybe I'd hold on to Joe Mixon over Jerry Jeudy, but I mean, you're really not paying a whole lot to get him.
Right.
And he's still only what, 25, 26, I think. I think he's 26 right now.
Something like that. Yeah, he's very young.
And so
he's 25. It was age 26 season.
Exactly. So yeah, I think that he will be I think he'll figure it out. I think that Denver just was not going to ever figure it out there. I think that he had enough problems there with the quarterback situation that they had going on, and then with whatever Sean Payton was doing. I still don't understand what Sean Payton is doing there. We'll figure it out this year. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know what, Rich? We had such a good vibe going, and this is where we suffer. Like, you can't quit Jerry Jeudy. I can't get rid of him fast enough. I've been trying
for 2 years. Hey, I got some thirds. Would you like to make a trade? Hey,
I think we might can make something out. Well, no, I don't have Jeudy on my team. I got rid of him a long time ago. And it's really funny that you say this. It's a team that I'm rebuilding. Like, I'm in a deep rebuild, like a long haul rebuild. Jerry Jeudy is on my team. Well, he was on my team until I got rid of him, like, for cheap, because you can't get anything for him. But yeah, I think the biggest thing that hurts with Jerry Jeudy is, so he was highly touted when he came out. Everybody's thinking it's going to be CeeDee Lamb, him, or Jalen Reagor, which is. He's better than Jalen Reagor, so I give him that.
Come on. Yeah, right. Exactly.
But when you see Jerry Jeudy, like, he is so talented, and his, like, he's a technician. Like, his route running and the things that he does, it's great. Like, he is one of the best. He's up there, like, with Amari Cooper or Devontae Adams or Devontae Smith. Just, like, his technique is so sound. He does everything beautifully except catch the ball. He reminds me of Ted Ginn Jr. I feel like he's Ted Ginn Jr., with a better PR team because like you, oh my goodness. If you want to be entertained, like, let's say one night you can't sleep, just Google Jerry Jeudy lowlights and then you'll be like, wow. And then after you do that, then go to YouTube and then type in Ted Ginn, drop it like it's hot. And you'll think it's the same player. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. I feel bad that I have a vendetta out against Ted Ginn because the Dolphins drafted him at number 7.
Right.
Wasn't his fault he got drafted at number 7. Jerry Jeudy, Rich, I can't co-sign that.
So who are you going after then? Who are you going after?
Okay, so for me, after I just talked about Jerry Jeudy, I don't know if I want to tell you who I'm going after. But all right, I'm going to go after none other than Jahan Dotson, wide receiver of the Washington Commanders. And I hear that, but let me tell you why. Like, this is why I should target him. He's 24 years old, so he's younger than Jerry Jeudy. Mm-hmm. You know, like Jerry Jeudy, he was a first round draft pick. He was pick number 16. Like Jerry Jeudy, you look at his team, he projects to be like top two option in the receiving game, you know, and he does have a new QB, like Jaden Daniels. Is Jaden Daniels better than Deshaun Watson? I mean, I think I'd rather have a chance on Daniels than Watson right now.
Yeah.
But The biggest reason that I'm targeting Jahan Dotson is just like this. Like I said earlier, like, you want to acquire players at their lowest and then sell them at their highest. Jahan Dotson right now is the wide receiver 57 in Superflex per DLF ADP. You know, so he's like almost a wide receiver 5 just based off ADP. Yeah. And I really think that he can outperform that number. It's not inconceivable to see Jahan Dotson like come in at a low end wide receiver 2, high end wide receiver 3. And that's not great. You know, it might not be a league winner, but that is definitely somebody that you're flexing or rotating as you make that championship run to deal with the buys or the injuries. Like, he can absolutely smash that ADP of wide receiver 57. If he comes at wide receiver 30, you know, he's done way more than, you know, anyone could. And the price for him right now, like, DLF has him like rated somewhere around a late third round, like the 307. So at the 307 right now, you're throwing darts anyway, unless you are like a dreamer, as I say, and you really love rookies that you just don't collect all those. But at 307, give me someone who's been in the league for a couple years, you know, who has that first round pedigree, and Ron Rivera's gone. I think the team will be running a little better. I think it'll be a little more offensive focused, and I'm willing to give him another shot. But if he doesn't do it this year, then he's Jerry Jeudy to me.
That's fair enough. No, I really like Jahan Dotson. That's a really good answer, actually. Like, I do feel like going into the whole process of the draft and everything like that, like, I really wanted the Commanders to trade out so that the Vikings could get, I mean, being a Vikings fan and everything like that, like, I'll be honest, my bias was against them taking Jaden Daniels. But now that it's happened and everything, and I've had a chance to process it and everything, I really do feel that Jaden Daniels is going to be great on that team. And he's exactly what Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson have been missing this whole time. Okay. Like, I'm really excited. I'm with you. I'm completely with you as far as Jahan Dotson being a great buy right now. You said he was going for like the 307.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would totally throw a third at that.
And what's really funny, because Jahan Dotson on this team that I'm turning around, that's rebuilding, he was another one of my wide receivers. I had Jahan Dotson and Jerry Jeudy on my team, so they really, really put me in a a position to win. So a couple other wide receivers. Was that?
Just a year, I was just going to say, you're just a year away. That's all. just a year away.
Yeah. You know, it will be my luck if I get rid of these guys cheap in this dynasty and then they blow up this season, which they really could. They absolutely could. But so a couple other rebuilding targets. Dontavian Wicks. He's rated right now by DLF as around a 307. You giving up a 307 for him? So, I mean,
yeah, I'd be willing to give up a 307 just to see what I can get with him. I'll be honest, I'm not looking to acquire Dontavian Wicks. I feel like I feel like the wide receiver room in Green Bay is really clogged right now with a bunch of twos and threes and no determined wide receiver one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I really like Wicks. I got nothing against him. I think that I hope that he does really well and hopefully he outperforms that 307. Right. But yeah, if I had somebody offering him to me for my third round pick, yeah. Heartbeat. Okay. Sure.
Yep. Okay. Yep. So real quick before we move off, and it's going to be just a tad bit off topic, but I just want to ask you your thoughts on this, because I was thinking this the other day. So Dontayvion Wicks for the Green Bay Packers. Again, our own Stacy Perez is not here tonight. Like, we love you, Stacy, and we know Green Bay is your team. But I'm going to ask this question that you might not like me asking, Stacy. So, Rich, when you look at the Green Bay Packers and the success that they had last year, just like you said yourself, it doesn't seem like they have like a true number one wide receiver. They just have a lot of guys that have jumped up and did some things at certain times. Mm-hmm. Do the 2023 Packers, last year's Packers, remind you of the 2022 New York Giants? You know, a team that had a whole bunch of stuff just thrown together. You know, they have an up and down season. They sneak into the playoffs. They make a little bit of a run. And now everybody's overdrafting everybody on the team this year.
Yeah, I could see the overdrafting for sure. I as much as it pains me to say, I will give the Packers some credit. Like, they definitely do a great job of building a team.
Okay.
Like as far as that team being as young as it is and everything like that.
Right.
And Jordan Love is light years better than Daniel Jones. Which also pains me to say.
But all right.
We had to deal with Rodgers. We had to deal with Favre, and now we got to deal with Love. Are you kidding me? Can we catch a break? No, it's been 40 years.
Oh, that's great. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to, you know, stir up any trauma there. But I got to give you credit, Rich. I got to give you credit. You're a good dude, because I teed it up perfectly for you to absolutely slam the Green Bay Packers.
You did.
And no, you gave like true and honest analysis, and that's what people come for. So I appreciate that, because if you ask me a question like that about the Buffalo Bills or the New York Jets or the New England Patriots, I honestly can't say that I would be as you know, diplomatic as you were there.
Right.
So, kudos to you, Rich. I want to be like you when I grow up. You know,
eat your Wheaties.
Eat my Wheaties.
Good.
Yep. Okay. All right, and then the last wide receiver that we had on the list, we're not really going to talk about him, but I'm just going to ask you, Josh Palmer. You know, for the 310, you know, that's kind of where he's going with per DLF. For me, I really think it really depends on my team makeup. I'm not trying to go out there and acquire Josh Palmer. I'm not really a believer in Josh Palmer, but I also believe that the 310 to me in a standard 12-team league is a dart throw. And so I'm one of those guys that I lean more towards veterans than rookies when it comes to like the question marks. So I think I would, or I might just try to package him and with somebody else to get something better to try to tear up. But how do you feel about Josh Palmer and the 310? Like, which way would you go with that?
Sure. Again, I think it comes down to if I'm offered Josh Palmer and I have the 310. Yeah, I'd probably take that just because who knows what you're getting at 310.
Okay.
Like you said, I tend to go towards the veterans, the known commodities, versus rather than having a rookie pick or a rookie in general. So he's still pretty young though. So I would say that it's mostly about the opportunity there that I'm intrigued by, and the fact that he's been there for a year and he's kind of the only other one. I mean, Quentin Johnson, yeah, but. Yeah. I saw a tweet the other day about who was it? Some wide receiver from the year before Quentin Johnson from 2 years ago. No, it was Treylon Burks. It was Treylon Burks and somebody gave him away for like $35 in fab, and I was like, ladies and gentlemen, you're Quentin Johnson. tweet in 2 years.
I saw that. I saw, did you tweet that out? I felt like I saw that. That is great. Poor Treylon Burks, man. He came into the league unable to breathe. You know, right. He had that asthma attack just like his, like starting off. Oh man, poor guy.
Yeah. He didn't have a chance. I'm trying to take, trying to fill in the shoes of AJ Brown. I mean, that's just painful. That's just painful.
Yeah. Do you think he was sad on draft night? When, you know, the trade goes down,
right?
And then they pick him, then he's like, oh,
he's tough. Right. Yeah. He, I mean, you know, in the moment, he's probably happy, but like, as soon as that moment passed, he's probably like, oh, dang. What have I just gotten myself into?
All right. So that's all we got for the wide receivers. excuse me, tonight. We're going to go to our next topic. We're going to be talking about the running back trade targets. Again, we're going to do just like we did the wide receivers, where there's going to be a contender or a rebuild. And so let's just hop into it and see what we got here. Rich, let me ask you, you want to go first or you want me to go first? I'll give you the option right now because I know my guy is
spicy. I'll go first.
Okay.
I'll go first. Yeah.
Have at it, sir.
Yeah, yeah. No. And, you know, trying to stay in that same vein of me being very diplomatic and trying to focus on what's important, which is winning the championship. Okay. I'm going to go back to the Green Bay Packers, and I'm going to go to my guy, Josh Jacobs. He's definitely a guy that I've been trying to acquire wherever I can this year. He was the first article that I ever really wrote that I did a deep dive on. Was on Josh Jacobs when I was just blogging on my own. Mm-hmm. I love Josh Jacobs. To start things off, let's look at the fact that Aaron Jones was an RB1 almost every single year, 2019 through 2022. Mm-hmm. So he has the ability, he has the game plan there, I think, to be able to be that RB1. But I also think that he is a much better all-around back than what Aaron Jones was. Like, that was one of the things that I was worried about when Josh Jacobs went there, is I'm worried about, is LaFleur going to rotate running backs a lot? Mm-hmm. You know, is it going to be more of a running back by committee like how it has been? Or is Josh Jacobs going to be just the guy? If Josh Jacobs is just the guy, and I think that he can be, I think that this is going to be awesome because he excels in both the run and the pass.
Okay.
The numbers, as far as like looking at last year, if you extrapolate, and I hate saying that word, but if you extrapolate over his average throughout the full year, because he did miss four games at the end there, mm-hmm. He goes from being a low-end RB2 to being a low-end RB1. He goes to being RB12. You look at what he does with yards after contact. He's been a top 12, according to Fantasy Pros, he's been a top 12 running back in yards after contact almost every year.
Ooh, okay.
Like he is really, really good. I don't know what else to say about it. Like he's
okay.
I love Josh Jacobs. I really do. I think that he is the most underrated running back in the league. Wow. He's right now, you can get him for a late first round pick. Or you're looking at like Isaiah Pacheco, Travis Kelce, mm-hmm. Deebo Samuel, or Kenneth Walker. That late first round pick or any of those guys, really, I would in a heartbeat give up for Josh Jacobs because he's still, let's see real quick. Believe that he is 26. Yes, he is 26. And so like, the way that I like to look at championship windows is I'm usually looking at like a 3-year window. Mm-hmm. And if I'm competing, 26 is that perfect age, I think, especially with the contract that he got. Right. I think he's gonna perform enough to be able to hold their hands back on the whole, because they have an out, I believe, after year two. Mm-hmm. And so I think that he'll perform well enough where they're not going to want to take that out. And yeah, I totally believe that he's going to be a guy that is going to win you leagues. So if you have a chance, if you're competing right now and you're trying to win that championship, trade for Josh Jacobs.
I like it. You know, I can't argue with you there. You made some very, very profound points, you know, like you using $5 words like extrapolate and everything. So if you're doing your thing. So Rich, but I do have two questions for you on that front.
Yep.
Like two questions. The first one, you're not worried about any of the backups taking any of his, like Dylan, is he still going to be there? Or, you know, the rookie they just drafted, you worried about him at all?
Right. So again, little worried about what LaFleur is going to do. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I'm even if they do what they've done in the past, where it is more of a running back by committee, mm-hmm. Aaron Jones has shown that you can still be an RB1 in that backfield.
Okay. That's true.
And so I think that, yeah, there's a good chance that there are some touches that are taken away from Jacobs and he might not reach the full potential of what I expect him to be. Mm-hmm. But even if he is on the same range as what Aaron Jones was for touches, he's going to outperform.
Okay. Yeah. And my second question that I want to ask you, and this is a real tough one, so take your time if you need to answer this.
All right. All right.
Are you a Packer fan?
No. Born and raised in Minnesota.
I mean, I hear what you're saying, but at the same time, I hear what you're saying.
Right, right.
There's a lot of Packer love on tonight's episode.
I gotta be honest, it's about winning. That's what we're here for, right?
Absolutely. Like I respect that. I respect that a lot because being a Dolphin fan for the last, like, ever since Marino retired, Dolphins really haven't been good. So last year was the first time they've actually had a legitimate team, although I did not think they were a championship team. They had a playoff team for the first time in a while. And people always were like, oh, you drafted such and such or whoever. I'm like, nah, I don't want Dolphins on my team. They're like, I thought you were a Dolphin fan. I'm like, I am a Dolphin fan. I'm like, but I also like to win. I'm like, so
right.
So on my Sundays, you know, I overpay for that Sunday ticket so I can watch every snap of the Dolphins, and it's been brutal. You know, so I watch the Dolphins play, and then after that 1 o'clock game is over and the Dolphins are done, then I see what's happening with the fantasy. So for me, it's gonna be Dolphins first, fantasy second. But when it comes to fantasy, I'm not rostering Dolphins just because they're Dolphins. Kalen Ballage never had a chance on my team. So all I'm saying, no thank you, sir.
No thank you.
All right, so I think Josh Jacobs, I think that was a really good pick. I'll go ahead and tell you my guy, you know, newly minted Philadelphia Eagle, Saquon Barkley. And, you know, we were just talking about, you know, I mentioned Dylan real quick, but I mean, Barkley's quads are better. That's all I got to say.
About right,
that.
Right.
That is the only reason why you need to draft him. He's got, tree trunks. Yeah. Oh, man. It was like real quick, I was listening to Scott Van Pelt, and he was talking about how some guy called into like a local radio show or whatever, and all he said was, did you see the legs on Saquon? And I've been saying that for years, and my wife, you know, she even says it now, but like, dude's legs are ridiculous. But other than having ridiculous legs, let me tell you why I think you should target Saquon. He's going to make an immediate impact on a good team. I personally think he is a better runner than DeAndre Swift is, and I think that by doing that, you know, he's not as scared. All right. My biggest knock with Swift does not like to run the play as designed. Like, he likes to always try to bounce everything, which is why he leaves so many yards on the field. Saquon's not that. He's going to go out there. He's going to get it. He's got the juice, and he can break it off at any point in time. Despite facing injuries in recent seasons, you know, Barkley, he's demonstrated that he has the potential to be one of the league's best running backs when healthy. And now you're getting him at a price that's much more palatable than would have been, you know, from his rookie season on. You know, you're paying like that high, high first round pick in a redraft for him and everything. Right now, I mean, you're still paying a decent price for him. His ADP like has him, DLF value has him around the 106, which is sorry, because he's getting up there in age, but he possesses that excellent speed. He's got agility. Like, as I said, he can break it off. And it gives you the upside of having just an elite running back, that running back one that you can just lock in and not have to worry about playing musical chairs with. You know, you'll live with his ups and his downs. having somebody like that on the team in a contending window you know that you got to go for it, you know? So having players that you can just set it and forget just makes the rest of your thing, rest of your season easy, because you're only worrying about managing, you know, those flexes or trying to churn over that roster where you can prepare, you know, for the playoffs. Saquon, I think that he's going to be healthy. I think he feels that he has a lot to prove after having to fight, you know, and dealing with the franchise tag. And I don't think he likes the way that his exit from New York went. You know, all the fans from New York were giving him all this hell and everything. And like, you never hear him say much, but he's like, hey, I didn't leave. Like, it wasn't me.
Right. He tried. He tried. Yeah.
So yep. I think that he's going to a division rival and he's really going to have something to prove. He's back in Pennsylvania. You know, you saw what he did last time he was there, what, at Penn State, you know, so I think he's going to be great. A great asset to pick up if you're going for a championship window. You do have to worry about that injury bug, but I mean, you got to risk it for the biscuit.
That's right. Don't play scared.
Don't play scared. I mean, you play to win the game. You don't play scared. And you just go out there and you give it all you got for four quarters.
That's right. That's right. That's perfect.
Rich, I'm ready to go hit somebody.
Man. Right?
This is great.
I feel like I'm in Varsity Blues right now. Like, let's go.
Let's go be heroes. For the next 60 minutes, Rich, for the next 19 minutes, let's be heroes.
Let's be heroes. I love that. I love it.
All right, so DeAndre Swift, he's somebody that made the list or whatever. He's going at the 201, according to DLF. I think that's a fair place for him. Really and truly, like, if you're contending and you're trying to win, like we've said this, you know, you're trying to acquire those elite players or players that have that elite profile that can, you know, get you to the championship. The 201, you taking Swift or are you going after a rookie right there?
Right. You know, actually, I was going to say I'm going after Swift, but now that you mentioned the rookie, that is right in that window where the two rookies are going.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that might actually where I would go instead.
Okay.
As much as, I mean, if you're trying to win right now, yeah, go after DeAndre Swift out of those two, because I don't think that the top two running backs out of the rookies, Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks, I don't think they're going to get you there this year.
Okay.
But I do think that DeAndre Swift can. I think that he, as much as it pains me to say, I think he's going to have a much better job or do a much better job than what Roshan Johnson did. Mm-hmm. Or what Khalil Herbert did, for sure. So, if you're trying to win right now, yeah, DeAndre Swift. But man, it would be really hard for me to pull that trigger, because knowing that I got Trey Benson and Jonathan Brooks sitting there at the 201 probably.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, that's intriguing to me.
Okay. I'm glad you went that way, because if you said DeAndre Swift and you just gave me like all your love for DeAndre Swift, then I had a question. Not are you a Packer fan, but do you hate the Vikings?
Right. Am I actually a Vikings fan? I don't know. Are you
sure you're a Vikings fan?
Yeah.
Next running back, Travis Etienne. He's somebody whose name's been floated there a lot. And he's currently been going at the 106, according to ADP. DLF trade value. I'm not paying that for Travis Etienne. I'm not. And the reason is I don't really have a strong backing for it. But I look at what the team has done. The team has tried, ever since he's been there, to bring somebody in to be his running mate. It just so happens that the person that comes in doesn't do what they want him to do. You know, like Tank, everybody thought that he would be the guy. He's getting the goal line carries just because his name's Tank, even though he's smaller than Travis Etienne, which I find really funny. But he did not do it. Like D'Ernest Johnson. Yeah. D'Ernest Johnson came in and he took over and like he was the running back. You know, and Etienne, nothing against him. Like he was out there, he was doing his thing and he was playing much better than I think a lot of people thought coming into the league. I think the knock on him was that, all right, he's just going to be like that receiving specialist, you know, not going to run between the tackles too much. And he's come in and he's pretty much been a workhorse because they haven't had anything else to go with him. I think that as Trevor Lawrence tries to ascend and the things they want to do, they want him to be the feature. They want this to be a passing team. They want it to be Trevor's team. They don't want Travis, you know, having to carry the ball so many times. I think the 106 is pretty steep. just at his age right now, like at that 106. Honestly, all right, I'm going to be perfectly honest. I tried to like just tell you why I wouldn't go Travis Etienne or the 106. It's because of the 106, I want Brock Bowers. Brock is my man.
Yeah.
I love Brock to death. And it's kind of hard for anybody, you know, to knock me off Brock right now. Yeah. Even in Vegas, you know, Brock's the guy. But what about you? How do you feel about the 106 or Travis Etienne?
You made me like shift gears a little bit when you brought up Bowers, because that is a good point. I do really like Bowers too. But I think I'm gonna go with Etienne. I traded for him. I was gonna ask you what you thought about this, and hearing the values now, I'm feeling like I overpaid, but that's okay. What would you do in this situation? Made a trade. Travis at Etienne and TJ Hockenson, or the 107 and Trey McBride.
Ooh, Etienne and Hockenson, or the 107 and McBride.
Yep.
All right. So for me, I want the 107 and McBride.
Yep.
So you have to understand my mindset really and truly. So the reason why I would want the 107 and McBride is because I'm kind of running back adverse, where everybody, you know, used to love running back so much and they still kind of feel they have to have that running back. I realize that there's going to be 50 something running backs that get played at any given week.
Right.
I'm not spending all my capital. I mean, not any given week, any given year. Like, you know,
that's every given week. Yeah.
So I'm not spending like all my capital on a running back because there's things when it comes to it or whatever, right? Like, so in the NFL, the running back position is the easiest position to fill. Like, you don't have to have it. You can just step into a running back position at any time. Very little that you have to learn is the easiest position to do that. I'm not saying it's easy to play. I'm saying that when you are an NFL pro athlete, the running back position is the easiest to fill. There's that. The number two thing, the running back position is the only position in the field where every time you're active in the play, you're involved in a mini car crash. When you're a running back, you're getting hit hard often. You're getting hit hard more than anybody in the league, which brings me to my third point. The shelf life for a running back is not very long because you're in all those mini car accidents because you're getting hit so much.
Yeah.
You know, so if the average shelf life for a running back in the NFL is 2 to 3 years, if you're good, you know, 3 to 5 years, if you're like a Pro Bowl like caliber, and maybe 7, if you're a Hall of Famer in a dynasty, that's not long. You said early, and I agree with you. I look at championship windows in a 3-year increment.
Yep.
In a 3-year increment, that running back that you're drafting in the first probably is not going to be like in your plan 3 years from there. Right. So versus taking that running back, why not take somebody else and then backfill with, you know, the lower tier running backs that nobody's paying attention to because they're all about, I got to get that top running back. That's just me. So
you're making a lot of really good points right now, and I am really starting to kick myself for having made that trade. Right.
But see, so, and also, I don't know your team build. I don't know everything that's going into it. And I'm not saying it's a bad trade. I'm just saying, like, for me and my logic, I'm more than likely going to lean on the side opposite of the running back just because, you know, I'm like, running back. I know they're important. I know that we need them and everything, but I'm trying to find a lot more, you know, value and hang my hat on elite production for a longer amount of time. But it's not a bad trade. Like Hockenson, I think Hockenson's going to be good, you know, but he's coming back off of that injury. And Etienne's going to be what he is. But McBride, I think he's going to be slightly better than Hockenson this year. And the 107, still have a chance to get Brock Bowers. Are you still there? Are you frozen? Rich. I think me talking about that trade may have hurt Rich a little bit. So he's frozen a little bit. But we'll just keep on moving. Najee Harris, like he comes up on the list, going around the 210 in value. And I'm taking Najee Harris for that 210. I think Harris is going to really show out when Arthur Smith comes there. And, you know, he likes to use a bunch of running backs, especially not the one that you think. So I'll go with that. Brian Robinson, he's looking at like a 304. I'd take Brian Robinson over the 304 just because of we said earlier. There's dart throws.
More power.
And hey, are you there? Ah, I thought he was back, but that's good going. Brian Robinson, yeah, I'll take him over a dart throw in the third. And Rich. I'm hey, back. What's going on, man?
Not much. I'm not sure why there's a second one of me, but
like this is how good Rich Sickles is, ladies and gentlemen. He is all right, Rich.
Twice.
But you know what? I mean, that's a good picture right there. Like, we should crop that, like for sure.
Right, right, right.
Just not to confuse the people.
There like, we go.
We'll go on with it. Yeah, I was just telling everybody that I feel that, you know, me taking the other side of your trade, that it just froze you, like you glitched out on me.
Right. Yeah, it broke me. I couldn't handle it. I couldn't handle it. My Wi-Fi even knew at that moment we're shutting down because we can't handle this dejection right now. Chris just dejected me. Oh man, I can't handle it.
Oh man, it's not too bad. But no, so man. Went through and talked about the other running backs and everything. And rebuilding targets, you've already said that you like Benson and Brooks, you know, around that turn of where they're going, like the 201, you know, the 202, not the 114, but the 202.
That's really I was love to see that. The 114. I'm like, what? Are you in a 14 team league or did you just forget?
No, I am in a 14 team league. And the 14 team league that I'm in is that one that I was telling you about, that hellacious orphan that, I mean, not orphan, that rebuild that I'm trying to go through that I had Judy and Dotson.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so, and it's a super flex, so a 14 team super flex. And yeah, I had Justin Fields as my other quarterback to Lamar Jackson and Derek Carr. But so anyhow, Tajay Spears. I feel that Tajay Spears at the 205, you know, like I think not at the 205, before the 205. I think it really depends on team build. Again, like I've already told you how I feel about running backs. But if you do want a running back, I mean, I think Spears is going to see the field a lot more with Tony Pollard on the team versus Derrick Henry. So that's a plus for him. The Titans, they've tried to help that offense out. They've added weapons. They've added Ridley, and they've added Boyd. So that means that they're trying to put a little offensive firepower on there. And when you open up the running game, guess what? That not open. When you establish the pass, it opens up the run a little bit. Today's NFL is a little different than it used to be. So, you know, you throw to open up the run. That's what Tom Brady was great at. And he's cheap, you know. So the 205 for somebody who could be the 1A starting on a team is pretty strong, you know. So that is the biggest reason for me, you know, I take that if I would take Tajay Spears. But at the 205, it really depends on what my team is. But more than likely, I want to package that 205 with somebody and tier up at another position. That would just be my strategy. Yeah. What about you? You taking Spears or the 205?
To be honest, I took Spears instead of the 205 already in one of my leagues. So, okay. But that was prior to Pollard signing. And I've been kicking myself ever since. I still think that in the long run, I think Tajay Spears is going to be the guy there. I have never been on the Pollard train.
Okay.
I've never fully understood. I mean, he did excellent. Don't get me wrong. I completely understand. He did a great job as RB2 when Elliott was there in Dallas as well.
Yep. But yeah, you're right. Not that big of a believer in Pollard, you know, just what he can do. And I agree with him. I think the Spears will take it on. So we're going to do the lightning round. I'll do the lightning round.
I've never looked at him.
All right. Seems like Rich is frozen again. So I'll go in and I'll do the lightning round. So it's like a would you rather. Hey, buddy.
I don't know what's going on. I'm so sorry.
When I said that the parents were gone and we could do whatever we wanted, man,
I'm leaving you all alone. That's what I want to do. I'm going to take a nap.
It's all good. It happens sometimes. But so the last thing we're going to do tonight, we're going to get into the lightning round and we're going to play a game of would you rather. All right. So We're going to do tight ends, wide receiver, quarterback. Going to give you some players, and you tell me which one of those players you'd rather have.
Let's do it.
All right. We'll start at tight end. Would you rather have Evan Ingram, Jake Ferguson, or Luke Musgrave?
Evan Ingram. Honestly, like with I know that he's getting a little bit older and everything like that, but you look at what he's done in the two seasons that he's been with Jacksonville, and he's been a top five tight end both seasons. Doug okay. Peterson knows what he's doing. Give me Evan Ingram.
All right.
I want that consistency.
I like it. Wide receiver. Would you rather have Zay Flowers, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, or Rashee Rice?
You know, I kind of felt really, really weird looking at this one, but I'm going to be honest. I'm going to go with just how things have been playing out. I'm going to go with Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I think that he needs the time to grow, but once he does, he's going to be excellent. And I wrote in the notes here, Tom Hanks, just wait. Just wait, Gif. Just give it some time.
Okay.
He'll get there.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers like, relax.
Relax. That's right.
Okay. All right. Quarterback. This is the last one we got for you tonight. Would you rather have Kyler Murray, Jordan Love, Jaden Daniels, or Dak Prescott? Please tell me.
I'm going to say Jordan Love because I'm actually a Pack. No. I thought really hard about this one too, and I really love Kyler Murray. He should be fully healthy come start of camp. I think if anybody out of everybody on that list, Jaden Daniels was the only other one that I was considering just because of what he can do with his legs.
Okay.
But I think that Kyler Murray is going to be he's going to outperform the other two, Dak Prescott and Jordan Love, and I think that his situation, especially getting Marvin Harrison Jr.
Okay.
I love it.
I do have a question about that, though. So you think Dak is going to have a downturn? Then he had a really good season last year. Would he finish like QB like 4 or QB 3 somewhere in there?
Right. No, I don't think that he has a downturn. I'm looking at this in the long run.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah. I just for this next year, I think I still want Kyler Murray more just because of the legs. Mm-hmm. Just because of what he can do with his legs and everything. I know Dak is mobile too and everything, but I'm really intrigued with what Kyler Murray is going to do down there in Arizona.
I got you.
But as far as Dak taking it, I think Dak is going to light things up this year, especially with the whole contract situation that's going on.
Yeah.
I think he's going to go out there with a chip on his shoulder and prove that Jerry's messing up.
I hear you. And you made a really, really good point by saying, like, you know, in the long run. So I agree with you in the long run. So next year might be the last year Dak's really got to get it out there.
Yep. So
appreciate that. And with that, we have talked about all our targets and everything that we got going on tonight. You know, so really appreciate that. Rich, that was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun when the parents aren't here. You know, we feel like we
can. Right? This was a blast.
It was a really good time. Really good time. I learned a lot about you. I learned that you don't like the Vikings as much as you like the Packers. So that's good to know. But moving on.
Right.
All right, guys. I want to thank everybody for tuning in and watching Rich and I as we, you know, have fun without the parents today. I was doing a little gesture, and I realized if you're listening to us on, you know, podcast or whatever, that you can't see what I was doing. But it's kind of like a Tiger Woods like two fist pump type thing because we're all by ourselves, we're doing it. But
that's right.
But thank you all for watching. We really appreciate it. Follow us on Twitter. You can follow Rich at Rich Sickles GBM. You can follow me at Dynasty Deviant. Or you can visit the website, www.fantasyinframes.com. And that's where you can get all of our updates, rankings, and rookie profiles that are coming out right now as we get you prepared for the upcoming 2024 season. Subscribe to the show on YouTube and click that notification bell. When you do that, you can't miss any of our content. So ding, ding. Subscribe to the show wherever you get your favorite podcast. And if you liked it, we'd really appreciate if you gave us a generous review. Tell Rich how pretty his beard is, because it is pretty amazing right now.
No, thank you.
Also remember that you can catch all of our Fantasy and Frames podcast, you know, that comes out tonight. Us, we're just up with Dynasty 365. You can also find the Fourth and Frames show where they tackle the redraft content and shoot the gap, where they give you IDP content. Again, as we said, thank you all for hanging with us. We greatly appreciate your love and support. It really means a lot to us. Now go out there and dominate your fantasies. And I tell you, we'll catch you next time.